Welcome back to Senior Talk Radio here at 88.1 FM, WCWP.org. This is Project Independence and You. I'm your host, John Ryan. My co-host is David Linden.
Hi there.
And we've been talking with Amy Artuso, who is a community safety expert at National Safety Council. And David, I know just when we went to the break, you had a question for Amy.
Yes, Amy, you said something about, very often people will say, oh, well, that isn't necessary, or yeah, I'm aware. Is it a kind of a lackadaisical attitude that you find some people or too many people have? They think, oh, that couldn't possibly happen.
Yes, I think it's two key things. I think people think it's not going to happen to me until it does. And then, I lost my train of thought. They think it's not going to happen to them.
Okay. We're talking about children in different ways, that, you know, seniors, adults have to protect children. I'm going to go a little bit off now and talk about home safety, too, if you don't mind, Amy.
Because I don't mind.
That's just as important, one for seniors, one for their adult children, and one for grandchildren around the house. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, watching the kids is one thing, and we're taking away, everybody has to be mindful. But at the same time, a house can be a dangerous thing for some people.
Right.
Some safety tips for seniors in the home that come, you know, the first things that come to mind, that type of thing?
The very first thing is we want to try and prevent falls. Older adult falls have increased 127% since 1999. Falls are the leading cause of preventable death among older Americans, killing more than 27,400 each year.
Wow.
So the rise in deaths has largely been fueled by an increase in falls from the same level. Adults with arthritis fall more often, and they're more likely to suffer an injury. It's important to note that the percentage increase is also due to a change in how falls are coded in mortality data. So the reason we've seen the increase in falls is because we have better data than ever. And in previous years, falls were not necessarily captured as a contributing cause of death on a death certificate. So since the category has been included, we have a better understanding of the scope of the problem. Falls contribute to far more deaths than were previously recorded.
Wow.
And probably suspected. And older adults who exercise regularly can reduce the risk of falls by as much as 30%.
Wow.
Some other key facts are 1 in 3 older adults falls each year. About 2.5 million non-fatal falls were treated in emergency departments in 2013. Of those, 734,000 people were admitted to the hospital. That year, 25,500 older adults died from unintentional falls, and more than 250,000 hip fractures were reported every year, and 95% of those were from falls. So you want to prevent the falls before they happen.
That's amazing statistic. Yeah. Is there like a number 1, 2, and 3 cause of the fall? Other than just maybe being sloppy, is there slippery carpets, leaving stuff on the floor? Is there any theory to that type of thing, or not really? No studies?
I don't know that it's narrowed down to 2 or 3. Some tips for preventing falls include using the non-slip bath mats, like you said, but
okay.
Also install bars in the tub or shower and near the toilet. So, yes, in those wet areas especially, keep common areas clear, avoid clutter on the floor, look out for cords and electronic equipment. Make sure every room has enough light. That is also a big one, including at the top and bottom of the stairs. People get up in the middle of the night, make sure that lights are easy for them to reach when they wake up. Install handrails on every stairway and on both sides. Put essential items in places that are easy to reach. I touched on that a little bit earlier. And to use a cane or walker if necessary. I know in my own family that's been a source of embarrassment at times. But if you need it, use it, because it's so important to avoid these falls.
I agree with you. I don't. Psychologically, I know it seems very difficult for seniors.
Mm-hmm.
I'm currently experiencing that with a friend of mine right now. You know, when it comes time to use a cane, it's psychologically, I mean, they don't want to. And it's like, why wouldn't you use a cane versus risking breaking another hip or something?
Well, I'll tell you, all I can share with you is something my grandfather had said to me one time, and you know, I think especially it's seen as a loss of independence, okay. And in a way, there's some embarrassment. He had said to me he thought he was invincible when he was younger. He thought he was invincible, and all of these new developments, if you will, he didn't like it. Plain and simple, he just didn't like it.
No, conceptually, you know, he's saying that very well, and yet the cane is a way of maintaining your independence, but people aren't looking at it that way.
Right. He was more embarrassed than seeing it from that perspective.
I use a cane, and I tell people, it doesn't embarrass me at all. I say, what it does, it will get me a seat on the Long Island Railroad.
So you don't need your cane. David, please, we're learning a secret here this morning.
Well, I like the way you just worded that too, John, and that I'm probably going to steal that from you when it comes up again in the future, is that it is a way to maintain your independence.
Sure.
It's yours. You feel free to use it.
Thank you.
No, but those are staggering statistics.
Yes.
You know, you hear somebody fell, but when you put it at 2.5 million, and then obviously concussions and different things could work in, but just the number of broken hips and you don't heal well. You know, unfortunately, you break a hip at the age of 80, you'll heal, but it's not the same as a 30-year-old.
Mm-hmm. Well, and as we've already talked about, it's so important to stay active. And then in those situations, then you are kind of sidelined and you're not able to be mobile, and then that can lead to pneumonia and other things. And that's kind of where the change in how, you know, injuries and deaths have been coded, as I mentioned earlier, that's been a change. They used to just say someone died of pneumonia. Well, for many, it originally started with that original fall.
Right.
So, and another area to take into consideration on this topic is medications.
Okay.
You know, talk to your physicians if you're experiencing dizziness. It could be how it could have to do with how the medications that you're on, or a combination of the medicines. One area in particular is opioid painkillers. Those are risky for older adults. Older adults who take opioid painkillers versus those who take over-the-counter pain relievers have increased risk of a cardiovascular event. They have equal rates of gastrointestinal bleeding and four times as many bone fractures. They also have an 87% greater chance of dying. Taking opioid painkillers also increased older adults' likelihood of falling by 64%. So it kind of brings you in full circle. And then separate from that, illicit drug use is becoming more common among among adults ages 60 and older. So by 2020, the year 2020, mm-hmm. it's projected that the number of adults ages 50 and older needing substance abuse treatment will increase from an estimated 4 million today to 5.7 million. And really, I mean, for me at least, 2020 seems so far off, but it's really not.
It's
amazing. It's amazing how close it is. So NSC recommends asking your doctor for alternatives. Opioids may not be the best option for you, even if you have gastrointestinal issues.
That's amazing. And, you know, I know just recently on Long Island here, somebody was put away, some doctor, you know, for prescribing them just anybody walking in got as many. I know somebody recently who got Oxy, and I think that the bottle they got was 100.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm not exaggerating. It was like the size of a small coffee cup. Like, their prescription was 100. I mean, you think you'd get 20 and 30 and come back for more if the continued, you know.
You know, they're really recommending that now. And, you know, there's a lot going on in that arena. It's interesting that you bring that up. So, yes, there are efforts being made to advocate for a smaller amount of pills in each prescription, especially when it's not needed. But whenever you can use those over-the-counter pain relievers instead, you know, you're decreasing risks there as well. And because once the physician prescribes that many pills, there's a couple things that can come into play. Some people don't want to feel like they wasted their money, so they don't want to throw them away,
right,
or get rid of them. We recommend taking them back to the pharmacy or a take-back location rather than just throwing them away. But they don't want to waste them, which then you get into, there are expiration dates on those too, and you shouldn't be taking the medication after the expiration date. So in that regard, it is better to get a smaller number. And then again, you know, there's a whole domino effect, and there's more exposure for young people to access, and it's not just the little ones. In that case, if you ever have teens coming around, there's so many things that it could lead to before the individual themselves I completely agree with you. A smaller number, if it's going to be prescribed at all, is the way to go.
Sure. If you have 10, you know if there's two or three missing. When you have a bottle and it was 100 or 120,
right,
somebody could take 10, you're not even paying attention.
Right. And we definitely want people to be keeping an inventory of their medications exactly for that reason.
And watch how they mix. That's another thing. That's a whole other
issue.
Yes. And so if you're experiencing dizziness as a result of combining different medications, then it's definitely something to talk to your doctor about.
Amy, that's terrific. This is amazing. We're out of time. It's unbelievable. The information, the point is, I think everybody has to, listening to Amy, realize, think through the consequences before you make an action. I mean, leaving kids in the car, leaving your pills on the countertop, take your pill, put it away. You know, walk, move your rugs. Be just a little mindful each day before you act.
Yes.
And everything will be a little bit better.
Sum it up. Yes.
Amy, I want to thank you so much for your time this morning. And
thank you.
We're going to have you back again because it's very important. You've been listening to 88.1 FM, WCWP.org. Thank you.
Thank you.